You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Friday, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the last free ticket Friday of the baseball season. Boy, I don't know about you, because I'm a season ticket holder. I did the pre-sale today, got myself some playoff tickets for our Milwaukee Brewers. Very, very excited. Big win last night. Man, they're just within reach of 100 wins. Mm-hmm. And let's keep those Cubbies at bay. Let's win this division and hopefully bypass the wild card. Folks, it is last free ticket Friday. The word to win this hour, you've got all hour to text this word in via the app to get yourself qualified to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds on Friday, September 26th. They may very well be in the hunt for that 100th win and potentially the divisional championship. So, boy, you don't want to miss out on this. It's your last chance. It's an exciting season. What a time to go to a Brewers game, folks. They're at 94 wins with just a handful of games left. Here is the word to win this hour. Text this in via the app. You can get the app for free just by searching for Civic Media wherever you get your apps from. Go ahead and download that. Click on the app. Text this word in right now to get qualified to win those 7:10 September 26th, Friday, September 26th, the 7:10 p.m. game versus the Cincinnati Reds. The word to win is brew. Mm-hmm. B-R-E-W, as in I love the brew crew. Folks, good luck to you. Again, you have a chance to win all this hour for just this hour, so get those text messages rolling in. We've got a really special show for you today. I am joined, as I frequently am, by former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Maggie, it is always an honor to be with you, especially on at times and certainly a day like today when, as you say, it's chock full of hugely important things. Great for you to bring this to your listeners and to everyone out there who needs to listen to all of this, right?
Yeah. Today is special because for the past week in conjunction with Jacob, who helps me every day get the sound ready, my senior producer, Jamie, who helps Jacob get the sound ready, we have had a great review of all kinds of clips from what some of our elected leaders are saying right now in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, but also what Mr. Kirk has said in the past, what our president has said in the past. All of this, of course, in light of Jimmy Kimmel's firing earlier this week. And Jim, I wanted you here with me today, and I wanted to take this entire hour to review some of the sound,
yes,
to review some of the claims that are being made by the GOP about hate speech, about what speech is okay and what's not. Who's saying what kind of speech? What is their platform? What is their reach? What is the impact of that speaker when they say certain things? Because not all speech is created equally, because not all speakers have the same reach.
Right. I often say, Maggie, right? The First Amendment people say, I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, right? My right is inviolate, and that is wrong. That is simply not wrong. The First Amendment is not an unconditional right.
That's right. It constrains government,
yes,
censorship of individuals. So I want to start with trying, and there's basically three things I want to walk through this hour with you, Jim, and with all of you, our fine listeners. And if you have questions or comments for Jim and I, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Here are the three things that I want to get through this hour. What is hate speech? What is extremism? And is what the GOP, what the MAGA regime is calling hate speech today in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing, what they're accusing liberals and Democrats of, is that actually hate speech? Do we have a shared understanding of what that is? Do we have a shared understanding of what actually extremism is? And what Isn't it important for us to have sort of a common shared understanding?
Right. Basic definition is what you're talking about, right? And that organizes all of this discussion, helps listeners, helps everybody understand the circumstances, again, the atmosphere in which all of this is being discussed.
Once we have that established, then we have to really understand what is censorship. Now, we outlined what the First Amendment prohibits, which is government censorship. But what is the concept of censorship more broadly? What sort of responsibility does a speaker have for the impacts of their speech? We're going to talk about that a bit. And then we're going to take a little walk back in time, and we're going to compare the views of many on the right, many of the MAGA regime, about quote-unquote censorship, you know, a couple years ago, and what their view on censorship appears to be today. And woven into all of that, we're going to be talking about what is really going on here and why each and every one of us, whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, whether or not you're active in politics or not, why each and every one of us needs to be deeply concerned, not just about the tone of our rhetoric, but about the big picture. Who is actually controlling what we see and hear? Because that, my friends, if someone that we do not understand is controlling what we see and hear, what media says, the access to facts and news and reporting that we may be able to obtain, and we can't see that, we can't debate it, we can't call it out, then, dear friends, our democracy is indeed in peril. So let's jump right in. And I want to just say this at the outset. You cannot condemn hate speech and engage in hate speech yourself. And secondly, it is not, in my definition and what I'm offering to you all today, it is not hate speech to correctly call out government actors, behaviors, language by others, and actions that are contrary to our most fundamental democratic principles. That is not hate speech. That is factually talking about, again, the dangerousness of what political leaders are saying and doing. So with that, I wanted to start here because there's been much outcry about, again, what Jimmy Kimmel has said, maybe what, you know, some teacher and thus and such school district said, what maybe some government employee said on their Twitter account. But I want to talk about what the political leadership on both sides of the aisles has been saying. And so we know that there was a killing, a political assassination, not just last week, but a couple of months ago, where a Trump supporter shot and killed a liberal Democratic Minnesota legislator, her husband, and her dog. So let's take a moment and refresh our recollection of what the president had to say when asked on Air Force One if he was calling Governor Walz to offer support or condolences. Take a listen to this.
Have you called the governor yet or been able to speak to any of them?
I don't know if I called him. He appointed this guy to a position. I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out. I'm not calling. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
So, very hard to hear, but what he said was basically, why would I call him? This guy doesn't have a clue. I could be nice and call him, but why bother? It's a waste of time.
People,
Mr. President,
or,
right. Go ahead, Jim.
Citizens,
please,
of the United States of America, also prominent citizens when it comes to government, have been assassinated, Mr. President, in their home. And your response is, why would I waste my time on that? I should call the governor. No, I don't want to call the governor.
Now, when Nancy Pelosi's husband, an 82-year-old man, was attacked by a Trump supporter in his home, hammered in the head with a skull fracture, this man was seeking to kill Mr. Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi. Here's what Donald Trump had to say then.
We'll stand up to crazy Nancy Pelosi who ruined San Francisco. How's her husband doing, by the way? Anybody know?
Mm.
And she's against building a wall at our border, even though she has a wall around her
house. And it goes
house.
On and on. It's disturbing. And just to recall, of course, Donald Trump Jr., also someone with an enormous platform, perhaps an heir apparent to the MAGA regime, that October posted on X that he had his Halloween costume all figured out with a pair of men's underwear and a hammer, giving voice to conspiracy theories about Mr. Pelosi and frankly making fun of the attack. That was the empathy, the sympathy. There was no call to tamp down rhetoric. There was no outrage from the right in light of these incidents. And we'll talk more about some of the other acts of violence targeting both historically disadvantaged groups and people and also Democrats as our discussion continues this afternoon.
And Maggie, if I can intercede, you know, the other part of this, again, huge issues related to speech that we're going to chat about. Let's talk about what a president is supposed to do. Let's talk about Article 2 that implicitly and explicitly says, yes, it is in these times of crisis when you say these things. I know people talk a lot these days about bringing the country together, and maybe that's an overused phrase. Express the concern of a legitimate leader who is confronting physical violence in your nation, Mr. President, and condemn that activity. There is nothing, there's no hate speech in that at all. Do that right thing and send the right message to everybody, not only because of what has happened, but also because it deters the future behavior as well. If you are the one out there condemning it, and we know in the wake of both of those incidents, we have had more.
So that was Donald Trump's response to the assassination by a Trump supporter of Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark in their home in Minnesota in June. That was our president's reaction to a politically motivated attack on Nancy Pelosi and her husband Paul. Remember, they were trying to kidnap Nancy Pelosi. You heard no outrage when the men that have been charged with the attempted assassination of Pennsylvania's Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro, when he received, I think it was like a Molotov cocktail, was thrown at his house multiple.
His family is in the home at the time. The house is burning.
There was no outrage when a man was convicted of orchestrating a series of shootings at the homes of four Democratic elected officials in New Mexico in 2022. That guy was a Trump supporter. There was no outrage from Donald Trump when his supporters wanted to hang the vice president on January 6th. There was no outrage from the right when a Trump supporter killed the son of an Obama-appointed judge, Judge Esther Salas, in 2020. There was no outrage from the right or Donald Trump or Charlie Kirk himself when Trump supporters tried to kidnap Michigan's Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And let's not forget Heather Heyer, an activist that was killed by a Trump supporter in Charlottesville in 2017. When we come back, we talk about the language of fascism and the enemy from within.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We're digging into what does the First Amendment really mean here in these United States? What is the actual historical record when it comes to what we're talking about as quote-unquote hate speech? Who said what exactly? Because my thesis to all of you, our dear listeners, is this. It is not hate speech to criticize government officials who are engaging in behavior that, when you look objectively at history, is the patterns and the tactics and the strategies employed by fascists or authoritarians. It is not hate speech to call out racist, homophobic, xenophobic, sexist, or other bigoted language. It is not hate speech for there to be consequences for people that engage in that. Now, let me be clear here. Those consequences should never, no matter how offensive, no matter how bigoted, no matter how racist, that consequence should never in these United States or any functioning democracy include being shot to death. I've got James Santel with me. We've got all of you. You want to join this conversation, 855-752-4842. Kurt from Madison, say hello to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Jim. Hey, I'm just going to say this as the best I can with all due respect. We have to stop discussing Trump like he's a normal person. This individual is not just a sociopath. He's a psychopath. And that's not my opinion. That's experts saying this. This guy is a loose cannon, mental loose cannon, out of control. To try to expect him to behave any other way than he has been behaving since he's been in office is just foolhardy. And
I couldn't agree with you more, Kurt. I don't expect him to behave any differently. Now, none of us are psychiatrists. We haven't sat down with him. So again, when you talk to medical professionals, they say, I'm not going to diagnose. But to Kurt's point exactly, I know that Donald Trump will never behave as a president should. He's incapable of it. What Donald Trump has engaged in is indeed hate speech. He has spewed it from the first moment he came down that gilded elevator in his golden tower, his ego effigy to himself in Manhattan, and called all Mexicans rapists and murderers. That was the start of Donald Trump's hate speech. Maybe not the start, but his hate speech as a viable presidential candidate. He was the guy that engaged in the birtherism conspiracy. One could argue that that's hate speech because it's rooted in this country's long and storied history of racism. But in case you don't want to believe Kurt or I, let's refresh our collective recollections. Now, remember, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing, here's what at least one Republican leader had to say about calling folks that we disagree with politically enemies and fascists. Let's listen to what Mike Johnson said. The warning, the call to be, you know, perhaps better Americans. Let's hear what Mike Johnson had to say. This is Cut 50.
Leaders cannot call their political opponents Nazis and fascists and enemies of the state because they disagree with their policy priorities. I mean, this is something we should have learned in grade school. This type of language spurs on depraved people, deranged people, who take that as a cue.
Okay, then, Speaker Johnson, let's take a listen to our president.
The true divide in American politics today is between these far-left fascists led by Harris and her group. We have a fascist person running who's incompetent.
She's a Marxist, communist, fascist, socialist. She's not actually a socialist. She's gone past that.
Somebody's got to explain this woman. This is a radical left Marxist, communist, fascist.
And this from our president.
We have the outside enemy and we have the enemy from within. And I say that the enemy from within is far more dangerous than the outside enemy, because I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
But the enemy from within, they are doing damage to this country.
It's the enemy from within, all the scum that we have to deal with, that hate our country. That's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
They were saying, he said the enemy from within. Of course, it's Adam Schiff. These are bad people. These are sick people and bad people.
We have an enemy from within. They hate to talk about it. But could you imagine? Could you imagine?
They're just bad people. And until we get a fair and free press in this country, they're just bad people.
And I say it to people, we have a bigger problem, in my opinion, with the enemy from within. And it drives them crazy when I use that term. But we have an enemy from within. We have people that are really bad people that I really think want to make this country unsuccessful.
One thing I have been, even the enemy, because they are the enemy, what they've said, even that enemy too, and they're really the enemy, they're the enemy of the people, the press. But I just think they're really, we have some, and you know, I talk about the enemy from within, and they do have, they're the greatest con people in the world. Oh, they talk about how dare, that's a threat to democracy. They're always, they're the threat to democracy.
No, Mr. President, I'm not. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with any of your policies, and I won't be silenced. I won't be afraid of saying that what you're doing is the things that authoritarians and fascists do, because it is my freedom of speech to say that. We're going to continue to set the record straight, call spades a spade, and call ducks duck if they quack and have web feet. Don't go anywhere. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney James Santone for this special episode. I've been working on this. I've been thinking about this. I've been listening to so much audio, which I have to say has been gross on a personal level. But what we're trying to get at is, what is hate speech? And is the reaction from the right basically blaming all of Democrats, every Democrat, every liberal, for the assassination of Charlie Kirk? Is that warranted? Is that based in reality? Because yes, I have called Donald Trump's policies, his rhetoric, fascist. I've said that he is taking the steps to move the United States into authoritarianism. That is not hate speech, because I believe in good faith that it reflects reality.
And it's premised upon executive orders and actions and things that have been done, provable things that are in the record of our nation.
So we just shared with you Mike Johnson saying there's no place in our political discourse for any leader to call anybody the enemy within. And then we played you minutes of Donald Trump calling all Democrats, all liberals, calling me, calling Jim, calling every one of you that didn't vote for him or maybe disagree with him, enemies from within. We played you minutes of Donald Trump calling Kamala Harris every name under the book, fascist, communist, Marxist, all of it. And we have more. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we're not looping any of that. Those are all individual, standalone, discrete statements by the president. And we're not done yet. Let's take a listen to our president and some of his other colorful language.
Fuck the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
I would bring back waterboarding, and I'd bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I think you'd have riots. I think you'd have riots.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Proud boys,
stand back and stand by.
I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution.
You can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country.
Other than day one, we're closing the border and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Sometimes revenge can be justified.
Well, they're not so stupid, but they have to be taught. Now, if you had one really violent day, like a guy like Mike Kelly, put him in charge, Congressman Kelly, put him in charge for one day. Mike, would you say, he's right here,
He's a great congressman. Would you say, Mike, that if you were in charge, you would say, oh, please, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Let them rob your store. Let all these stores go out of business, right? They don't pay rent. Then the city doesn't have money. The whole, it's a chain of events that's so bad. One rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out, and it will end immediately. End immediately.
Stunning, shocking to hear that, not only in sequence, individually, any one of them, the name calling, vermin, a bloodbath.
Yeah, it's horrifying. And Barry from Spooner correctly points out the problem here is that hate speech, extremism, doesn't have a commonly accepted definition. Indeed, sir, I agree with you, Barry from Spooner. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish by listening to this. Find me any Democrat that has the power of Donald Trump or even some of the most powerful radio and podcast hosts like Mr. Kirk, like Alex Jones, like Rush Limbaugh. Find me anyone on the left that has said anything, that has any reach at all, any influence, that has said things of this volume, acuity,
this venom
and specificity. Yes. Now let's talk about Mr. Kirk, shall we? And folks on the phones, stay there. We're going to get to the phones. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Everybody's going to get a chance at this, but I want us to hear what we are talking about. So let's start with a massive Charlie Kirk montage. I've called what Mr. Kirk has said during his lifetime sexist, racist, homophobic, xenophobic, and fundamentally contrary to what I think one of our most closely held American ideals are. And that is everybody is entitled to equality of rights and opportunity under the law. I want to give thanks to the Seneca Project for giving us permission to use this. There's some music in the background. This is long. Please stay with us. This is Charlie Kirk in his own words.
And I'll tell you one more thing that's on my mind tonight, and conservatives everywhere. The idea that people are saying, well, he was an extremist, or he was a racist, or he was a Nazi, or a misogynist, whatever. Charlie Kirk was a mainstream conservative Republican. He had views that are held by tens of millions of people, including more than half the country in the last election.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. It begs the question, when you see a black pilot, you wonder, you say, I hope they are qualified. And in the spirit of affirmative action, we have Ramon and Cadillac are your two pilots. They've never flown before, but they are black.
If I'm dealing with somebody in customer service who's a moronic black woman, is she there because of her excellence, or is she there because of affirmative action?
I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously.
The war on white people continues.
You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously.
We are raising a generation of weak people like Simone Biles.
LeBron James is a self-interested, narcissistic, and we know he's not very smart.
You're representing your nation. You're a selfish sociopath.
Not very bright, not wise, not somebody of good character.
She is a shame to the country.
Blacks in America did not have the same rights they had today. Data shows they were actually better in the 1940s.
Let's get loud for Kyle Rittenhouse.
I'm also going to offer some context and some nuance about the death of George Floyd that no one dares to say out loud, which is that this guy was a scumbag.
Remember what BLM stands for? Burn, loot, and murder.
Now, does that mean it deserves to die? That's two totally different things. Of course not.
Prowling blacks go around for fun to go target white people. That's a fact.
There's no such thing as white privilege or racism, so.
Black people are allowed to talk about black culture in a way that white culture cannot.
Black people can go up and say that there's a baby mama problem in black America, and white people are not allowed to say that. Oh, I just did. So what are you gonna do, cancel me? Black people are allowed to say.
I'm a grown man, I got way
black people are allowed.
Skin color now gets their own summertime celebration. Oh wow, look how far blacks have come. It has now become a racial complaining day.
Thomas Sowell and Justice Clarence Thomas are far better black role models to celebrate than Martin Luther King.
This guy is not worthy of a national holiday.
There's a mythology around
MLK that does not warrant the reverence that he gets treated with in America.
We have a federal holiday to a guy that talked about race all the time.
Kirk describes King as, quote, a bad guy. It's true.
We celebrate the Civil Rights Act more than the American founding.
The country made a mistake when it passed the Civil Rights Act. Also true. The Democrats are not lifting a finger to remember the well over 100 people that have died in Texas Hill Country. The death toll likely would not have been as high if it wasn't for DEI.
Ketanji Brown Jackson is what your country looks like on critical race theory.
You're gonna remove my appendix and you're a black lesbian?
Ketanji Brown Jackson is an embodiment of the tyranny that we currently live under. She's an ideological, unintelligent, yet confident fanatic.
Why does Kirk believe passing the Civil Rights Act was a mistake? Now, again, apparently they don't listen to the show because we do that at least once a week, yeah, right?
So she wants to be the first ever black woman on the Supreme Court, yet she won't even admit that she's a woman.
The transgender movement is an introductory phase.
These doctors need to be put in prison.
To get you to strip yourself of your humanity.
A Nuremberg-style trial.
To mesh with machines.
Interestingly, I think there is an argument to bring back the MRS degree.
Reject feminism.
Young women need to get married at a younger age and start having kids.
Like, don't, like, oh, I'm studying sociology. No, you're not. We know why you're here.
Submit to your husband, Taylor. You're not in charge.
You will find a husband if you have the intent to find a husband.
You got
to
change your name. If not, you don't really mean it.
Democrat women want to die alone without children.
A lot of them are on birth control, too. And birth control, like, really screws up female brains, by the way.
It's really rich. I didn't know women not to complain 50 years ago. That's funny. We should tell them to stop freezing their eggs and start finding their partner earlier and have lots of babies.
Every single one of you need to make sure that your loved ones are not on birth control.
So materially insane to think that one in five American women will be raped in their life.
It is. I agree.
No, meaning that they're lying about being raped. That
you're comparing abortion to the Holocaust.
Absolutely, I am. In fact, it's worse. It's worse.
Because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open-border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies. And by the way, this is my other problem with death penalty. It takes too long, too many
too
appeals.
Expensive.
It should be public. It should be quick. It should be televised. Well, at what age should you start to see public execution?
16. I think you could do it earlier. I think you maybe at age 12.
I want to watch that execution. That'll make my day better. A lot. I mean, Joe Biden is a bumbling, dementia-filled, Alzheimer's corrupt tyrant who should honestly be put in prison and or given the death penalty for his crimes against America.
The Democrat Party believes everything that God hates.
Like, we're dealing with maggots, vermin, and swine here. These are not good people. They're not even a little bit good. In fact, I know people that have come, that went to Haiti passively as, like, agnostic atheists, and they came back searching for Jesus because they saw, like, legit demonic activity. Kamala Harris wants to see the elimination of the United States of America.
Democrat Party supports everything that God hates.
There's not much you can do, folks. You have a government that hates you. You have a traitor as a president. Buy weapons. I keep on saying that. As top Republicans reject any link between GOP rhetoric and Paul Pelosi assault. If some amazing patriot out there in San Francisco wants to really be a midterm hero, someone should go and bail this guy out. Native-born Americans, you better buy weapons, everybody. Have a lot of guns at your disposal. I would never leave your home without a weapon.
I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year, so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights.
We actually need looser gun laws, because I think that
looser gun laws.
Oh yeah.
They said, we have more guns at the Turning Point HQ than you can imagine. Yeah, if anyone ever tries to come, that will not end well.
Oh no, imagine the world without Joy Reid. Imagine the world without Sheila Jackson Lee or Michelle Obama or Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I am channeling the emotions of millions of conservatives who are angry. They knew Charlie. They love Charlie. They view Charlie as a mainstream conservative Republican.
What that man just said over those 6 minutes is mainstream. We are in deep, deep trouble. By the way, the gentleman at the end and the beginning of that was Scott Jennings, Trump apologist, Kirk apologist that is on CNN nearly nightly.
Our flags were at half staff in celebration of those principles at the direction of the President of the United States of America.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And we're going to dig into folks that refuse to face reality about their platform size and the impact of their speech. And let me be clear here. For any Democratic-leaning podcaster out there calling for violence, you should be condemned. That is disgusting. But we continue this correct grappling with reality on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is your last chance on the last free ticket Friday of the summer to get four free tickets. The Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds, Friday, September 26th, as they try to clinch the division and skip the wild card. That game is at 7:10. Text this word via the Civic Media app that you can get for free wherever you get your apps from. BREW, Brew, as in the Brew Crew. I hope they beat those dastardly Cardinals tonight. Again, the word to win via the app, text it in via the app, Brew, BREW. You will be qualified to win four tickets to the Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds Friday, September 26th at 7:10. I'm with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We're going to extend the conversation that we're having into the second hour. There is so much sound. There is so much context. And it's challenging to get through all of this in the segments that we've got. So I appreciate all of you sticking with us. Over the last hour, we have listened to voluminous sound of both President Trump and Charlie Kirk saying awful, awful things. The very things that conservatives accused Democrats of saying in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing. And we've done this in service of this important, important concept. It is not hate speech to call hate speech out. It is not hate speech to describe what Donald Trump and Project 2025 is moving us towards as fascistic or authoritarian. That is not hate speech. And to be very plain about this, there is no elected Democrat that I am aware of that has said anything, not a whisper of anything that comes even close to what Donald Trump has said in even one of the series of sounds that we've played for you this afternoon. So this is not about extremism from the left. Now, are there podcasters and folks out there that are saying abhorrent things? Sure, but these are not the president, the vice president. These are not people reaching tens of millions of people every day on their platforms. They're not people that the president seeks for advice, like Stephen Miller or Laura Loomer. That's not who's saying this. The people with the platforms and the power, with titles of president, vice president, senior advisor to the president, Stephen Miller, that is where we are hearing this language from, and it has been so for a long time. And it is my opinion, we're going to continue to explore this, that the reason we are in the political climate that we find ourselves in today is because for far too long, too many people have tolerated disrespect, and yes, hate speech towards marginalized and historically disempowered groups of people under the guise of, quote, free speech, diversity of thought, and political differences. It was the right that for the last decade would scream about cancel culture, which our guest yesterday referred to as consequence culture, that your speech has consequences. Passing off bigotry as political differences and demanding respect for such bigotry minimizes and incentivizes violence towards marginalized and historically disempowered communities and individuals.
Describing the qualities of people in government Ketanji Brown Jackson, Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court, suggesting to America that she is there because of the color of her skin. Have we spoken? We have, Maggie. You and I have on broadcasts about this woman's amazing accomplishments, academic, judicial, as a major leader in this nation, and suggesting that she is there because of the color of her skin, advocating for the reversal of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, rolling back the very legislation that ensured that people in those disenfranchised communities have access to all that is America, advocating, as so many things, advocating for the assassination, the killing of a president. His name is Joe Biden. I happen to know, as we discussed in the break, that's in violation of federal criminal law. And there's more.
It is in violation of federal criminal law. And yet, the Biden administration didn't seek to get Charlie Kirk off the air. They didn't seek to prosecute them.
Right.
And let's just be clear, before we run out of time in this hour, we're going to pick this conversation back up on the other side. We're going to go to the text lines and the phone lines. So if you're there, please stay there. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Let's be really clear. Brendan Carr, when writing in Project 2025, in response to conservative concerns about consequence culture when they say bigoted things, wrote that the FCC should promote freedom of speech. It is an independent regulatory agency. He wrote this on X in 2022. President Biden is right. Political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech. It challenges those in power while using humor to draw more people into this discussion. That's why people in influential positions, like an FCC chair, have always targeted for censorship. Here's Charlie Kirk. Hate speech does not legally exist in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech, and all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. Brendan Carr, again, in 2019, should the government censor speech it doesn't like? Of course not. The FCC does not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of public interest. Remember that? We're coming back on the other side. We're going to dig into what censorship is and is not, and what exactly is going on here. What is the big picture that we all need to be seeing together? I'm Maggie Dawn with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We continue this discussion of what it means to be truly free.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.